The next panelist we'll have is Michael Moynihan from Reason. Michael is the senior editor of Reason Magazine and Reason.com. Before joining Reason, Moynihan was a resident fellow at the Swedish Policy Institute, Timbro, and edited the English language Stockholm Spectator. He's currently a visiting fellow at Timbro. Moynihan is a frequent commentator in the Swedish media and has written for Expressen and many other articles that I just can't pronounce. So.
Don't even try. I can't either. I just made all that up.
Really? Yeah. Very well spelled. So Moynihan is a graduate of the University of Massachusetts Amherst, where he received a BA in history. He lives in Washington, D.C. Just a brief reminder to the panelists to try to keep comments to 8 minutes as well.
I will do so. Thank you very much.
Excellent.
Yeah, it was difficult being asked by Alexander to be on a panel of the greatest threats to liberty, because that's I vacillated on this issue, and I sent him a flurry of emails and said, should I talk about free speech, because there's people on campus and clearly free speech is an issue. So I settled on that, not firmly, but I settled on that, and I said, look, I wrote a column about this last year, about free speech on campus, which is something all of you are dealing with day in and day out. So I wrote a column about this, and I said, I'm going to see what is going on campus, and I grabbed the latest report from FIRE, an organization which I'm sure all of you are familiar with, and at Reason Magazine we've worked with and I've worked with. And so they released a report of the state of free speech on campus. And it was the most depressing reading of the year, because in the first paragraph, I found out that 75% of the universities that FIRE looked into had some form of abridgment on free speech in the past year. So, that's a pretty sobering number, 75%. Now, I graduated from University of Massachusetts in Amherst, which is one of the red light offenders. And I, was a really, really egregious offender when I was there. So it was a bit disappointing. And I said, it's funny, I talked to somebody here, and I don't know if they're sleeping something off or if they're actually here, from Michigan. And I said, this is on Friday, and I said, when I was in university, this is my old man routine, when I was in university, there was all sorts of, idiotic speech codes and this, that, and the other. And I said, there was one example when there was a conservative newspaper or a libertarian conservative newspaper at UMass, which had a print run. It's a pretty small print run. It's a very large campus, so a very, comparatively small print run. And, of course, they disappeared within, 5 minutes of hitting the newsstand. The person that had actually stolen them, it was like the Amherst Bolshevik Party or something, God knows. And they were questioned in front of a small throng of people in the media and said, and somebody yelled out to them, said, only Nazis burn newspapers. It's a bit hyperbolic, but the point's being made. And the comment that came back from the defender of free speech said, we didn't burn them, we recycled them. I said, no, you've got to be kidding me. And so I said to this guy who's from Michigan, I said, does this stuff still go on? Is this actually? And he said, oh, yeah. And without skipping a beat, he said, yeah, we have to hand them out by hand, and sometimes we put them out and they disappear. So the connection here for me is I just spent 5 years, as the guy who introduced me said, I spent 5 years in Europe where the concept of free speech is malleable. There's no real, we see examples of this all the time. And I was in Sweden I left Sweden at the beginning of this, of what euphemistically came known as the cartoon crisis. I'm sure everyone remembers this, when you draw a few pictures of Muhammad and everyone gets upset and starts burning McDonald's. I don't know what the connection is. But, and then I realized that college campuses are in their own ways little European countries. And I don't mean that in a good way. Just if you guys are fans of little European countries, I recommend you going there. But I was looking at this column. I'm writing this column, and I looked at what's going on at UMass. And I found the Daily Collegian. Is there anyone from UMass here? Oh, goodness, that's depressing. It's a really bad place. No. There's the Daily Collegian, which is the daily newspaper. Had a column about, somebody was being prosecuted or whatever you call it on campus for some sort of hate crime or speech code violation. And I saw something in an editorial defending the college administration. And within two or three lines of this completely and utterly incoherent editorial, which you tend to get in college newspapers, there was the sentence, well, we believe in free speech. When somebody starts, by the way, so we believe in free speech, the second part of that clause is going to be incredibly stupid. Be assured of that. So we believe in free speech, and but we don't believe in abusing the right to free speech. Now, the first thing I thought of then is, like, you know, I just left Sweden, where this enormous conversation was happening about the Muhammad cartoons. And everyone said the exact same thing. We are interested in the concept of free speech. But there's also this right that I was unaware of, that there's a right not to be offended. And people take this stuff very seriously. And I mean, you can laugh it off, and I did, and then realize that every single newspaper in Stockholm, every mainstream daily, was editorializing in favor of keeping these offensive, and I use air quotes there, offensive Muhammad cartoons out of the newspaper. So, you know, this is obviously something that I think creeps back into the American political debate, often via universities, because there has been very little fight, or successful fight, I should say, in the past 15 years. There has been some rollback of speech codes, but not so much. I mean, I was looking at this FIRE report. Again, 75% of universities have some form of abridgment of speech. So now we see things in Europe that have a way of moving themselves over. The more pernicious things have a way of moving themselves over to America. And they're getting very close. Now, two examples, and then I'll cede the floor. Two examples, one we saw last week, and I wrote a column in last week, actually, on a Dutch parliamentarian named Geert Wilders. Is anyone familiar with Geert Wilders? Yeah. Who is sort of crazy parliamentarian for the Dutch Freedom Party. Now, Wilders is an interesting character. His views on Islam, I believe, are reductionist and probably, you know, something that I would take issue with, but that's neither here nor there. The English government, the government of Gordon Brown, decided that Geert Wilders was a threat to the stability of peace in England and decided that he was not allowed to enter the country. Now, this is totally and completely and utterly unprecedented. But a member of parliament for a democratic Western European country is forbidden to travel into another democratic Western European country. But the thing that I found utterly amazing about this was the British Home Secretary, a lunatic named Jackie Smith, said, well, here's the problem, Geert. This is our problem. When you say these things, it makes people angry. And this is actually a public safety concern. And what happens when you say things about Islam is that they get angry and start burning things. Now, if there's any confirmation of Geert Wilders' opinions, it's coming from the Home Secretary of England. Now, that's one example. The second one, a little closer, is we have the case of the Western Standard in Canada, where they republished the Muhammad cartoons and were prosecuted by the Alberta Human Rights Commission, which is this wonderfully Orwellian organization, where they asked, and this was videotaped, you can see this on YouTube, it's a tremendous, tremendous video, where the editor, a guy named Ezra Levant, who is demanded that this be videotaped, and he's talking, and the woman is asking, well, what was your motivation for publishing these cartoons? And he said, you know, it's none of your damn business what my motivation was. But this is kind of a piece with hate crime laws and, violations of free speech in America, is that your motivation is something that is of concern to authorities. So, yeah, I'll end there. But obviously, I mean, this is something that is a very big issue on campus, and it's something that I expect all of you guys fight in one way or another. But these sorts of things are not isolated to campus, and we see these in hate crimes legislations and free speech violations throughout the country, and they seep into the broader culture. So, I just end on, keep punching people in the nose and not letting them get away with this stuff. So thank you.